You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Hi, and welcome to the all-new SN Fresen Show. Yep, we used to be the Cooking Corner, but now we're the SN Fresen Show. And I'm sure you are ready, steady to go for Pesach. And joining me in the studio today is Tracy Milner, some know her as Tracy Terespolsky Milner, who is a wonderful cook, a real barrier, as my mother-in-law would say. And Tracy is the author of Ready, Steady, Pesach, as well as running an incredible business of making food for people, making Pesach food, making, you name it. You phone Tracy and you say, Trace, have you got Parava condensed milk? And within 2 minutes, it's on your desk. So Tracy's Treats, as they are called, is doing a whole range of Pesach goodies as well. Tracy also gives cooking demonstrations. And can I give your phone number on
air?
Yes, please. Okay, so jot this number down because it's a very important number. 082-850-1621. And Tracy has given us an extra day for you to place your orders for Pesach. So orders close tomorrow. And if you want anything from a range of fish, salad, soups, chicken, meat, vegetables, anything, desserts, mayonnaise, tomatoes, even non-gebrauchs, you can get whatever you want. Tracy will help you out. So I actually love Pesach. Welcome to the show, Tracy.
Thanks so much for having me again. Thank you.
And, you know, Pesach, everybody says, I'm crazy. You're mad. How can you love Pesach? I don't know. It just feels such a refreshing sort of surgical scrubbing and the cleaning and the, you know, getting ready for Pesach. And you just feel so good when everything comes together at the Seder table and you almost pass out. But
definitely pass out.
Pass over. And, but you know what? I always remember Susie Fishbein, the great Susie Fishbein, always saying, stop stressing. Make careful lists. Don't wander through the aisles and get caught buying because it's packaged so beautifully. The more detailed you are in your list, keeping them year after year, and I've tried so hard. Every year I say the same thing. I'm going to make a list and keep it. Okay, but I never do. But keeping them, keep these lists year after year because basically you know what your family likes and you know what you're going to cook for Pesach. So tell us, what are you making, Tracy? Okay.
Well, firstly, I just want to add to what you were saying. I think Pesach particularly is a time of year where just memories are created.
Absolutely.
I think of all the Chagim, most of our, I'm talking about my young adult nieces and nephews, my children, those memories of singing around the Seder table.
Absolutely.
And the food at the Seder table somehow is more memorable than the Rosh Hashanah meals, the Shavuot meals. And yes, a lot goes into them. And also we tend to only have a lot of those foods Pesach time. For some reason, we can make them the whole year, but
absolutely,
we keep them especially for Pesach.
Yeah.
And I think it keeps that interest going. And I don't know, I just think that it's the most memorable and joyful in many ways, Chagim, you know, of Chagim. So what are we making for Pesach this year? I haven't quite decided. I'm making
everybody else's
Pesach. But, I did a vegetarian demo the other day, which was actually really interesting to do.
Yes.
I think a lot of people are tending to eat more healthily and, not that vegetarianism is necessarily more healthy, but going more gluten-free and vegetarian in terms of and leaving out a lot of the oils and fats. And it was actually a really interesting demo to do. And it just widened people's horizons because yes, you can use those vegetables as your sides and everything else, but it was really nice to use them as your main, to have the main course as the a vegetarian highlight of the meal.
Yes, I read somewhere that, I don't know if I misread, but I read that the Rebbe used to have a milchik, the Lubavitcher Rebbe used to do a milchik seder Maybe I'm wrong.
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Can't tell you on that one.
I'll come back to you. We'll come back after the break, and we're going to share some wonderful recipes.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Quite excited when I heard that they were doing a new sting for the Essen Fressen show, because I thought that they would pronounce my name correctly, but they still call me Sharon. And I put there a special note, Sharon, as in Karen, as in car. But anyway, let's get on to some adverts now. The last few seats are available for the South African Jewish Board of Deputies great debate on Thursday, the 11th of April at 7:30 p.m. at the Cyril Harris Community Centre. Renowned author and journalist Mandy Wiener will pose pertinent questions to the leaders of five prominent political parties on the night. Seating is limited, but don't despair. The event will also be broadcast live on Chai FM from 7 p.m. Details of the event can be found on the Board of Deputies SAJBD social media pages and on their website www.sajbd.org. Well, that sounds exciting because Mandy Wiener's brilliant. Okay, another ad, and this is from Pick and Pay. You've heard about the Pick and Pay appeal, where Pick and Pay Harper Norwood are asking you to help find a needy family in the community who Pick and Pay Harper Norwood will reward with 1,500 rand to spend in the store on food for Pesach. Well, we're pleased to tell you that the first family already has their voucher. If you know of a family who is going through financial difficulties and could do with a little Pesach present from Pick and Pay Harper Norwood, please email a motivating letter to info@chaifm.com, info@chaifm.com, and this it's the time of our freedom, and you can help bring freedom to all. Okay, so let's get back to our exciting recipes. And I have a few. I mean, well, let's start off with some of the recipes that you demonstrated on Sunday, your vegetarian ones.
Okay. Well, the vegetarian lasagna is in my, that's in my cookery, in my book, Ready, Steady,
Pesach.
Oh,
okay.
So that one is easy. And
now, can we get Ready, Steady, Pesach? You still got copies of it?
Yes, I still do have copies.
Okay, because I would suggest if you, this book has everything you will need to know for Pesach. I mean, for people that are crying that they can't get Oli Whip, you don't have to. I mean, there's chocolate mousse recipes and ice creams and all sorts of things that don't need Oli Whip. So there's been the big question out there. I think the two biggest questions I've seen are brown sugar and Oli Whip. Okay.
Margarine.
So, oh, and margarine. Okay. So, I believe we're not going to be getting Oli Whip, unfortunately. But there's lots of recipes in my book in Celebrating with the Kosher Butcher's Wife. You've also got the wonderful Italian gelato that you don't have to use Oli Whip in, and we make that every year and it goes down very well. Then there's quite a few recipes that really you can substitute, and people are asking about coconut milk. Now, you've got a recipe, I'm sure, in your book, how to make coconut milk with desiccated coconut.
Yes.
Correct?
I think there is one.
It's just basically you cover it boiling water. One cup of coconut, desiccated coconut, covered with 2 cups of boiling water. Bring that to the boil on the stove. Just let it steep a little bit, let it get cool, and then just push it through a muslin cloth or a fine, sieve, and there you'll have beautiful coconut milk. Double up. I know that I use quite a bit of coconut milk.
And you can do the same for almond milk. You
could do the same for almond, exactly.
So, and then crush up your almonds afterwards to use for something, for biscuits,
yes,
or whatever.
Absolutely.
Okay, so another alternative for just speaking about the vegetarian stuff we did on Sunday.
Yes.
In the Pesach lasagna, instead of using Oli Whip, not so much for, I'm just thinking in terms of for cooking.
Yes.
You know, sometimes you'll make a nice mushroom sauce you want to make a mushroom sauce, you need oily whip or something like that. You could make a nice pair of white sauce and substitute that. Right. You know, so there is a recipe there. It's your normal white sauce. Just chop up an onion, mix that with some oil, and then a lot of oil.
Yes.
Add in your potato starch so you've got a bit of a roux going, and then you add your, I usually use chicken stock or vegetable stock.
Right.
And
we'll have that nice cloudy, creamy look.
And if you want it more yellow, just add an egg yolk or two, and then you've got a lovely yellow color. It looks more cheesy for your sauce.
This is parif, obviously.
That's parif, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. I'd also like to share two recipes. One is for biscuits and one is for parif ice cream. Also not the parif ice cream, particularly not using oily whip, because I think a lot of people are stressing about this no oily whip story.
Yes.
So a lovely parif ice cream is, it's four eggs and a cup of sugar and half a cup of oil and a cup of water or orange juice. And you put all of that into a pot together and you blend it with a blender until it's smooth. Stir it until it's very hot, but don't let it come to the boil. Let it cool, and then you blend it again, and then add any flavoring of your choice, which can be 2 to 3 teaspoons of vanilla essence, a teaspoon of coffee dissolved in a tablespoon of hot water, which makes your coffee gelato, 70 grams of melted chocolate, which would make a chocolate gelato. Freeze it for 6 hours and blend again. I don't usually blend again, and it's usually delicious either way.
Right.
But it's really easy. Obviously, it doesn't make as big a quantity as your oily whip addition would do, and you're not separating eggs, so it's a really quick and easy one to do.
Right.
It's time on the stove, but no, it's a one dish rather than three dishes, as most of our recipes are. Another delicious one, it's also an ice cream. It's a sorbet. Not really, it's not really your general sorbet.
I must just interrupt you 1 second. That gelato that you gave the recipe for, just before, I served that once with, I made the vanilla and I served it with brownies, chocolate brownies.
Oh, wow.
Oh, boy. You don't have to make anything else.
People go crazy for that.
And
really
when you
do.
Tell them what's in it, they go, nah, there's oily whip in it.
Yes.
No, there isn't.
And my son will not eat oily whip. And he actually, and he doesn't like parif, but this he actually does like. He says it's creamy.
It is amazing.
It's a very creamy
one. It is a very creamy one.
So the fruit sorbet, also very easy to do. They do have available frozen fruits this year.
Yes,
There's mango, there's pineapple, there are berries, there's strawberries. So you really can go to town on doing a nice mix of fruits. You can choose your fruits for the layers. So during the year, you can use a tin of peaches. Obviously, Pesach, you can't. So for your layers, you would use about 400 grams of your fruit. You add 2 eggs, 1/4 cup of oil, 1/2 cup of sugar, and 1/4 cup of lemon juice. You put all of that in a food processor with your knife attachment, and you just puree and mix it for about 5 to 10 minutes.
Eggs are white and the yellow together?
It's everything together. So it's easy. So it's, so
imagine
again,
it
it's,
comes out nice
it's
and
400
creamy.
Grams of your fruit, 2 eggs, 1/4 cup of oil, 1/2 cup of sugar, and 1/4 cup of your lemon juice. Zhuzh it all together in your fruit processor.
Yes.
5 to 10 minutes so it gets nice and thick, so that oil emulsifies a bit. Put it into a rectangular container and let it freeze. What I normally do is I do a layer of, say, strawberry, then I'll do a layer of pineapple, which is a different color, and then a layer of maybe blueberry or something, so that we've got 3 different colors going. Or I'll do a vanilla layer in between of a normal vanilla ice cream during the year, and you've got a lovely three color ice cream, which looks stunning, and it's so easy.
Perfect
for Pesach, and no oily whip, no problem there.
Okay, after the break, we'll come back to some more recipes with Tracy Milner.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
So let's go back to some of our delicious recipes, and I'll be sharing also some Vleshik recipes with you just now.
Yum.
And some nice salads, new interesting salads.
Okay.
Okay, so Next recipe.
Next recipe.
Next recipe.
I've got a beautiful recipe for lady fingers.
Terrific. Which, and then we could, we can't make tiramisu because we're not, we can use your ice cream.
You can use that ice cream.
Use that ice cream. You can make tiramisu. That'll be terrific.
And you definitely can.
Yeah.
So the lady fingers, are also very easy. Here you do need to separate your eggs. It's 4 eggs separated.
Right.
An eighth of a teaspoon of salt, so just a pinch of salt for those of you who don't measure like I don't. A teaspoon of vanilla sugar. Ordinary vanilla essence is fine. You don't use vanilla essence, leave it out, not a problem. Half a cup of sugar and half a cup of potato flour. So just to repeat, it's 4 eggs separated, pinch of salt, teaspoon of vanilla sugar or vanilla essence, half a cup of sugar and half a cup of potato flour. So you beat your egg whites and your salt until stuffed and reach peaks. Then you gradually add a quarter cup of your sugar, until the whites are stiff and, they're forming glossy peaks. Beat your egg yolks with the other quarter cup of sugar in a separate bowl until they're very thick and pale yellow. The longer you beat your egg yolks with the sugar, that sugar dissolves, so you don't have the crunchiness in your recipe, and you'll see when it reaches it goes almost white if you beat them long enough. And you know, but you don't have to go berserk with that. Stir in your potato starch to the egg yolk mixture and then add your yolks into the whites. Spoon into a piping bag with I use a smallish tip, just a normal piping tip, not like you would use for meringues because you want it thinner.
Right.
And you just pipe fingers onto a tray. This makes quite a lot. It makes about 4 dozen. This recipe.
Terrific. Okay.
So you are getting a fair amount out of there. They don't last very long though, Chef.
Yeah,
sharp.
I'm sure.
So you have to, you have to, you have to, hide them away. But you bake them, at 350, which is 180 degrees for about 20 minutes until they're light brown. You don't want them to get too done and you don't want them to be too underdone either.
Yes.
And then those you can just eat as they are or use them in any of your favorite recipes. And obviously perfect for babies on Pesach.
Yes.
Because, you know, they're very difficult to give them nice biscuits and things they can chew on. And these just melt in your mouth.
Fantastic.
So that's just a nice one to have.
Isn't it amazing how many eggs we go through on Pesach?
It's scary.
Huh?
And at the demo the other day, two people asked me, what do you do if you're vegan on Pesach?
Oh, boy.
Vegan, vegetarian, and gluten. Well, gluten intolerant is easy, but
it's
on Pesach.
Potato flour, we can...
But
deal with
but
that.
The egg free on Pesach, I think that's quite a challenge.
I go through pockets of onions, pockets of potatoes, and boxes, dozens and dozens and dozens
I think
of eggs.
At least 20 dozen eggs.
I read the most interesting article. I can't remember. It's saying that, you know how we have the brown eggs and the white eggs and whatever. Okay. And it depends on the color of the feathers.
Yes.
In the ears. Yes. I couldn't believe it. Okay. So I've learned something new.
And the color of the hen. A brown hen will lay brown eggs, apparently, and a white hen will lay white eggs.
Oh, fascinating stuff. Yeah. So we go through a lot of eggs. Okay. So now what am I starting with? The normal chicken soup. Knedlach. And for those who won't knedlach, I do my blintzes every year. the potato blintzes. And in fact, what I've done this year is I've on my site, on the Kosher Butchers, on Facebook, because I'm not quite on Instagram yet, you know. Facebook is for older people. Instagram's a bit too, okay, I've got to get into that, but, on Facebook, on the Kosher Butcher's Wife or Sharon Lurie, you will see I've done a whole lot of recipes called Seder Proof. Okay. So they will all work for you. And, you can find it also on the Facebook Pesach page. It's just called Pesach. And I think it's a lot of, people from the UK and that kind of thing. But there's over 10,000 members. And believe me, they share a lot of interesting recipes. So,
and a lot of things we can't get. Makes me feel very jealous sometimes.
Oh no, somebody posted, who's got brown sugar? And I'm like, oh, please. Cause I need brown sugar for my apple cake, But anyway, it will still work with wine.
It's called Pesach recipes, Sean.
Pesach recipes. Thank you. Okay, great. Okay, so now I'm always on the lookout. Now, my family don't eat fish. I mean, I think there's two of us who eat fish. And so I always have to make a lot of salads as the starters. They've just eaten egg, but they could still eat another dozen eggs, my family. They love boiled eggs, smoked salmon and asparagus. So I'm always looking for, salad options to put on the table or put, around the table or whatever. And this one was quite a nice one. I made it last year, but I didn't share it with anybody because it was still, it was still after Pesach already. So what you'll need for this, it's an olive, cucumber and onion salad. So simple, but yet all the different, somehow the blandness of the cucumber works so well with the olive, and then the paprika pepper, the red pepper, works so well with the onion. So let me give you the recipe. It's 1 cup of olives. Okay, if you don't get the ones with the pips removed, then just cut them in half. Make sure that there are no pips in there, because it's nothing worse than having to have a crown in the middle of Pesach. 1 cup of chopped Israeli cucumbers. Those are the small little ones. You can put a little bit more on if you want. It's always so hard, I find, to say 1 cup of, because how small are people cutting their cubes of little things of cucumber?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so you'll see how much you need. Then you'll need 1 cup of chopped red paprika peppers. Those are the long red peppers.
Those nice sweet ones.
Nice sweet ones, yeah. And you get them in a packet, so you can use 2, and if there's 3 in the packet, use the 3, it doesn't matter. And then you'd need about 1/2 cup of chopped red onions. So you've got all this lovely green and purple and red colors in it. And then this dressing is quite simple. You won't have to use the entire dressing, but, keep some on the side. If you want to, you can use the whole lot, but you'll need 1/2 cup of red wine vinegar, 3/4 cup of olive oil. If you don't want to use olive oil, then you can use any other oil. 2 tablespoons of sugar or the equivalent sweetener, 1 teaspoon of minced garlic for those who eat minced garlic, and you stick it all in a jar and you shake it up. And then you can just decorate it with a little bit of parsley at the end or coriander for those who like it. And what I did was I also added a little bit of mayonnaise if you want to. And I know that you have a wonderful Tracy has a wonderful mayonnaise recipe.
Which is my late mother-in-law's.
Yeah.
So I think of her every year. Well, I do, particularly when I'm
Well, you share that easy recipe, because, people get so nervous and making mayonnaise, and it's so easy. It's like fun making it, because it's like making challah. You feel so good afterwards.
It is, yeah.
And making blintzes. getting them back.
I always feel so good about making blintzes. Although I bought myself a
battery pan.
I bought a crepe maker, one of those electric ones for Pesach, and I'm waiting to use it this year.
I've got one all year round. So, and it's very nice.
Just trying to find my recipe.
While Tracy's looking for her recipe, I'm going to share,
which it is in my book, by the way. That's why I'm paging through. And what we were talking about, making your soup for a starter, the minestrone soup in here is delicious for those people who don't like meat.
Yes, I do too, actually, because my husband's going to eat chicken soup.
There's a delicious delicious minestrone soup in my book, and I've got the mayonnaise recipe.
Okay, so let's do the mayonnaise, and then we'll do the next recipe.
Okay, so it's Norma's mayonnaise. It's 2 whole eggs, 2 teaspoons or 10 mils of sugar, 2 cups of oil. Yes, it does sound like a lot, but mayonnaise is oil. 1/2 teaspoon of paprika, if you've got available for Pesach, and if you want to. 1 teaspoon of salt, or less if wanted. It's all up to taste. 4 tablespoons of vinegar, 60 mils, and a little ground pepper. During the year, you can add 1 teaspoon of mustard powder, or 2 teaspoons of mustard powder.
Do they not have that mustard powder?
It's kidneyot. Yeah. So no, okay. Not generally for Pesach. That's why I substitute the paprika, just to give it a lift.
Yes.
Right. So in a blender, you put your eggs, your seasonings, your vinegar, and 60 mils of your 500 mils of oil. Just a scant amount of that oil. You cover and process, and then gradually pour the remainder of the oil in a steady stream into the blender. My late mother-in-law told me, take an old bottle of oil, or take your bottle of oil and make a little hole in the top. And you turn
clever.
That over so that you're getting a steady mm-hmm. stream coming through.
Yes.
She said as she got older, it was more difficult to hold that bottle steady, and she could just hold the bottle and it came out in a steady stream with a hole in the top of the bottle. So we always have a bottle for the oil that we can use. So you pour the remainder of your oil in a steady stream into the blender while it's blending. If necessary, stop the blender and move the mixture around the blades a bit with a rubber spatula, and then continue adding the balance of the oil at the same speed as before. The mayonnaise is quite thick. It fills, but not quite full, a 200-gram Nescafe Classic bottle. So just for an indication of the quantity.
Right.
It's really easy, and it lasts for a good few weeks. So you could even make that this week, and you've got it ready for all your cooking. And again, I use the mayonnaise also if I'm too lazy to make a white sauce for my moussaka or for my lasagnas.
Yes.
I put a layer of mayonnaise instead of the white sauce. Okay. It looks just as good.
Yeah.
I just put, you know, just a, it's just it gives the color yes. more than anything, and it gives nice flavor. And I don't need to mission with making a white sauce. So when you're in a hurry in the kitchen, there are shortcuts, and
yes.
I make good use of them.
Good. Now we're talking about mothers-in-law. So I'm going to share my mother-in-law, my recipe that was inspired by my mother-in-law's curried rice salad. Okay, so it's a curried cauliflower rice salad. Okay, so we can get, I know that you can get, beheaded cauliflower, all the florets off at,
Fresh
Fellas have got it. And you just grate it. That's all you have to do to make cauliflower rice is just grate it.
Or put it in your food processor.
Or put it in your food processor, exactly. 500, you need 500 grams of that cauliflower rice. Then you need 4 to 5 tablespoons of olive oil. You'll need 100 grams of cashew nuts or almonds, lightly crushed. 1.5 cups of Tracy's Beautiful Mayonnaise. 2 tablespoons of white wine vinegar or regular vinegar. White vinegar is fine. 1 tablespoon of curry powder. 1 teaspoon of turmeric. 1 tablespoon of honey. And a hot red chili. Now, this is optional, the hot red chili, but we like our food hot and spicy. So it's worth adding that. 1 green bell pepper chopped, 1 red bell pepper chopped, and 1 small red onion chopped. Okay, so now what you do with the rice is you place it into a bowl and you drizzle it with your olive oil, salt and pepper. It loves salt and pepper. It needs quite a bit of that. And you just mix it all together until all the cauliflower is nicely coated. And then you add your roughly chopped nuts to it as well. And you spread it onto a baking tray and you roast it with the nuts in a preheated oven. Okay, so your oven would be probably 180 to about 200 degrees. You want it quite hot. And you mix it after about you... cook it for about 10 to 15 minutes, and halfway between the cooking process, you mix it through again and just keep checking that it doesn't burn. Okay, then you just remove it from the oven and set it aside to cool. And it's easy. You just combine the mayonnaise, the vinegar, the curry powder, turmeric, and honey in a large bowl. Now, if you've got cumin, you can add a little teaspoon of cumin as well. It's all about the taste.
Can you get curry powder for Pesach, Sharon?
I'm not quite sure. If you can't, then put more chili in.
I was just going to say, substitute with,
okay.
I think there is cumin, funnily enough.
Is there
so
cumin?
So you could use more cumin.
And then there's paprika.
So you can use a nice blend.
Yeah. And then you place the hot chili. And if you can't get curry powder, or you know what I've got? I've got an old curry powder sitting in my bedside.
Circa 2000.
I stick my old matzah and my spices into the freezer.
Me too.
So sometimes if we can't get this year,
You do.
Anyway, and then what you do, as I say, you combine the vinegar, the curry powder, the mayonnaise, turmeric, honey, and all that, and the chili, the peppers, the chopped peppers into a bowl with the mayonnaise mixture. You give it a good stir. And just before you're going to serve it, you add the rice and the nuts, because you don't want the nuts to be there too long, because otherwise they could go a bit soggy. And the cauliflower rice has got such a lovely nutty flavor to it once
sounds
you bake
delicious.
It.
Delicious.
Easy.
Delicious. And Shell, tell me, yeah? do you need to chop up that chili?
Yeah,
or do you leave it whole?
No,
okay.
Very
with,
small.
With the seeds?
Tiny, tiny, tiny.
And do you de-seed
take
it?
The seeds out.
Okay.
Yeah. Unless you want it very hot, then you leave the seeds in. And then finally, you just sprinkle with coriander. And for those 10% who hate coriander, sprinkle with some flat leaf parsley.
Sounds delicious.
So that's a salad for us all to try. I do have an easy recipe on the site, on the Pesach site as well. They're the Seder proof recipes. There's one for beef, there's one for cakes, there's all sorts, and I'll be uploading a couple more. But after the break, we're going to come back with mains.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back to the SN Fresen Show. I'm in studio with Tracy Milner. Some of you know Tracy Terespolsky-Milner. And we are discussing all sorts of exciting things for Pesach. Now, I have in front of me, I think it would be the equivalent of 2 lever arch files full of recipes for Pesach, and I don't think we've even opened one yet, because we're having such fun chatting about all the things that we're going to make for Pesach. Now, Tracy was telling me in the break that she has, we were talking about all the potatoes that we go through, and she has a lovely recipe, a salad recipe for potato skins. So, let's go, Trace.
So this is a lovely one, because we've got all these potatoes, and instead of throwing the peels away, obviously clean your potatoes well first before you peel them. But this uses about 20 potatoes, oil and salt. That's for the potato skin side. The dressing I'll give you afterwards. Exact quantities, but it has vinegar, chilies, lemon juice, fresh ginger, sugar, garlic, mayonnaise, and a bit of salt to taste. So you bake your ovens in the, Bake the potatoes in the oven for an hour.
What?
Allow them to cool, and then peel them with a vegetable peeler in long strips, and leave a bit of the flesh on. So don't use a peeler that's going to do a very clean peel. You do want to leave some flesh on so that there's something to taste on the potato, but not a lot. Then put those skins on a baking tray, drizzle with the oil and sprinkle with salt, and bake them at 200 degrees until they're brown and crispy, turning halfway. Now, those are very nice to serve as is, nice for the kids to snack on, nice to just have in the kitchen while you're cooking, that people can come in and just take the way they take your fish as you're frying the fish and the blintzes, as Sharon knows, that as you're making them, so they're disappearing, and you're just thinking, oh, God, here goes another batch.
Yeah.
Right. So you have your potato skins ready, and then you make your dressing. And this is a delicious dressing for other things as well, but really lovely on the potato skins. So you need 1.5 cups of vinegar, 1.5 cups of sugar, 2 to 3 chilies, a clove of garlic, 1/4 cup of lemon juice, cup of mayonnaise, 1/2 teaspoon of fresh ginger, and salt to taste. So you boil your vinegar and sugar together to equal quantities until the mixture becomes syrupy and it thickens to a golden caramel color. Remember, it will get a bit of a pungent smell because it is vinegar boiling. Don't panic. Put the syrup into a food processor. If your food processor is plastic, let it cool very slightly first so that you don't melt anything. And add the remaining ingredients, which is your chilies, which you can leave whole because they're going in the food processor, a clove of garlic, your 1/4 cup of lemon juice, cup of mayonnaise, 1/2 teaspoon of fresh ginger, and a bit of salt. You put all of that in, put the syrup into the food processor, add all of the others, and you mix well. The dressing can be made in advance and stored in a sealed container in your fridge, and the remaining potatoes can be used for potato salad or for mashed potato or for your potato kugel or whatever else. So you've at least made use of all these peels that are just going into the bin.
Yes.
At least use them up, and they really are delicious. That's one of our favorites.
Terrific. And then, of course, I mean, we've got the something that I make every year, and why I enjoy it so much is that when it's cool the next day, you can just pour a little bit of salad dressing over it and make, and that's a grilled vegetable platter.
Mm.
Now, I know, I think all my friends make this because you have to have some kind of warm vegetable. I loaded up on the site, I think it was a carrot kugel, which is quite nice, and a potato bake, which you can have a look at. But this is just a grilled vegetable platter, and it's wonderful to serve it hot on the sudorim, but then you can turn them into a roasted vegetable salad the next day. You'll need three red bell peppers, three medium-sized eggplants sliced, the red peppers sliced as thick or as thin as you want them, zucchini, which is baby marrow. You can have those, either chop them or you can slice them in lengthwise. 6 to 8 of the yellow little squash, I call them flying saucers. 2 red onions cut into quarters, and then you just separate the leaves. A bunch of asparagus. You can put some mushrooms on. What else can you think of? You can take,
baby
tomatoes sort of towards the end, and beetroot. But remember, boil the beetroot first because otherwise
it's going to make everything pink. And you're going to wait for 2 days for it to cook.
Exactly, for it to cook, and you'll have to serve it on Shavuot instead. And of course, butternut. And then all you do is, what I do is put everything into a big plastic bowl, and I pour over a couple of glugs of olive oil, 1/3 cup of balsamic vinegar, lots of salt and pepper, and dried oregano, if you can get it. Otherwise, enjoy checking it. And then you can just, you can add a little bit of syrup or honey if you want to, but it's not necessary. I think, you know, the sweetness of all the vegetables comes out. So what are you making now for your main dish?
Well, for the main dish, on the subject of the oil, which I land up using in my main dish, at the beginning, when I change over for Pesach, and I often have a bottle that lasts from year to year, and then I land up making a new bottle the next year, I take a bottle of olive oil, and preferably a couple of weeks before Pesach, you put in about 2 cloves of garlic, I put in some peppercorns, some bay leaves, and a few whole chilies. I cut a slit into the chili, just a tiny slit, just so that the flavors will go through. And you put that into your bottle. And whatever you use that oil for, you drizzle it onto your vegetables, as you were just saying.
Yes.
It just gives the most unbelievable flavor. And the longer it stands, the better. So I end up using the whole year.
You can put rosemary sticks in.
Anything. Absolutely anything.
And delicious.
So I do it a few weeks before Pesach, and it sits in the cupboard ready. And when I go to cook, I've got delicious olive oil.
So. I normally make chili sauce for Pesach, which everybody loves, but
this is to cook with, and it's really yum.
Fantastic.
Okay, so for our main
dish,
let me see. It will definitely be a roast of some kind.
Okay, while you're looking for it, I'm going to give you a little marinade that we use year in, year out, and you can use it on steaks. You can use it over a roast. You can put it on your brisket and just let it go for hours in your crock pot. All it is, I call it a cup of coffee, honey. 1 cup of black coffee. So it's 1 to 2 teaspoons of strong coffee to 1 cup of boiling water. Let that cool. And you add 1/2 cup of apricot jam to that, 1/4 cup of honey, 1 teaspoon of crushed garlic, 1 teaspoon of freshly grated ginger, 2 tablespoons of the onion soup mix. I know some people don't like to use onion soup mix. If you're not going to use onion soup mix, then cut up a lot of onions and put that in. And you just let it go for hours. That's as simple as that. Very easy. Of course, some salt and pepper. And that's an easy one. Put that over everything and anything, including chicken. I've done chicken, I've done lamb with that. It's great. Okay, so on to your main dish.
Okay, right. So there are two that I think are really nice. One is my children's favorites. I do beef strips, so stroganoff strips with a sweet and sour sauce.
Lovely.
And this is their favorite, and they say, why only on Pesach? So you use 1 kilo of beef stroganoff.
Right.
A cup of cake meal. You can use potato flour, then it's 1/2 the quantity. 1/2 teaspoon of salt, pinch of pepper, some barbecue spice, paprika, whatever's available. 2 eggs mixed with a bit of water, finely crushed potato crisps, and oil for deep frying. So you coat your beef strips in cake meal, which has been seasoned with your salt, pepper, barbecue spice, and paprika. Shake off the excess, and then you dip your strips into the beaten eggs, and then into the finely crushed crisps, and you fry it in heated oil until golden and cooked through. If the oil's too hot, the strips will be too crispy, so it's got to be just right. When we went more healthy, I started baking them in the oven, and they taste just as good. It's easier than the frying and less fattening. Yes. And then a lovely sweet and sour sauce with that as a dip. Just half a cup of sugar, half a cup of vinegar, half a teaspoon of salt, 4 teaspoons of potato flour, cup of water, and 4 teaspoons of tomato sauce. You boil your water and vinegar together, add your potato flour mixed with a little water, add the rest of your ingredients and stir over medium heat until the mixture thickens. And then you just arrange your fried beef strips on a platter, decorate them with strips of red pepper, green pepper, yellow pepper, carrots around, whatever. Pour sweet and sour sauce into a bowl and put that in the middle of the platter of beef strips, and you can serve it warm or chilled. So it's lovely for Shabbos lunch or Yontif lunch, and it keeps well in the fridge. You can use chicken as well instead of the beef. That's a yummy one.
Okay, so after the break, we'll come back with some more recipes for you.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back to the Essen Fresen Show. We just don't know what to share with you. We've got so many wonderful recipes and ideas. Now, I've got a message from somebody who says, "Hi, Sharon. Great show. What salad can you make instead of sushi with meat or chicken strips?" Aviva. Okay, Aviva, you can make, why don't you, instead of sushi, use cauliflower rice. Why can't you use that? That should be quite nice. What do you think? What else could we use? Is there something else?
Another thing she could do is the beef strips that I've just given the recipe of.
Yes.
Using meat or chicken.
Chicken, you're right.
So maybe do a nice platter with cabbage and maybe some nuts and whatever. And yes, some strips on top of that with a nice dressing
there you
on
go.
The side.
So we've combined a few little recipes there. It's easy, guys. Just have a mouth for something and then you'll be able to put it all together. Okay, so I have a recipe. I don't think I'm going to share this one because it's quite long. But somebody asked me during the week, actually, are you going to give your falafel recipe, which I have here, and I'm going to give you my gluten-free falafel biscuits. Okay.
Those are delicious.
So you will need 150 grams of non-dairy margarine. Now, I know that we're battling with margarine. If you're going to use coconut oil, then you would need a lot less coconut oil. I just need to find that other recipe.
I actually substitute just ordinary oil.
Just regular oil.
Yeah, so if it's 125 grams of margarine, a quarter cup of oil. Yeah, half a cup of oil.
It's about a third of a cup of oil for this.
I actually have also a kind of margarine.
So oh, okay.
We can share afterwards as well.
Okay. And then you'll need about a third of a cup of oil, 3/4 cup of sugar, 2 eggs, 1/4 cup of orange juice, 1.5 teaspoons vanilla extract, 1.5 cups potato starch, potato flour, 1 cup, yay, I'm so happy they brought tapioca flour back again, 1 cup of tapioca flour, 1/2 cup of a coconut, which is optional. You can put coconut flour. You can use the desiccated coconut. And 200 grams of crushed almonds. A little bit of salt. Now, you can use the Pasadena baking powder if you want. And you just fold that all together. Mix it all up. Beat up the eggs. Add the sugar. Add the oil. Orange juice. Vanilla extract. Potato flour. Tapioca flour. Coconut flour, a desiccated coconut, and the almonds. So you've got all the flours, all the almonds, all the everythings, a little bit of salt, baking powder, just mix it all together, and then put it in the fridge for a while just to firm up. So you can also, now what you do, okay, so you, once it's in the fridge, take it out because it's now quite firm, divide it into two, and then you grate it on the bottom of a baking tray, followed by a generous amount of apricot jam. Now, when I say generous amount, go quite thick because it just gives it that lovely, when it hardens up, it gives that lovely toffee-ish kind of taste and stick to it. And then you bake it for, you put the apricot jam or strawberry jam, whatever jam you want on, and you bake it at 170 for about 25 minutes. Don't forget, sorry, I forgot to tell you that you must put the grated on the dough on top as well. And just bake it on 170 for about 25 to 30 minutes. It's just lightly golden. And then you remove it from the heat, slice it into squares while it's still warm, because it can get cool and then it can be a bit difficult to slice through the apricot jam. And then you allow it to cool and remove it from the tray with an egg lifter and put it onto a wire rack. And there you have delicious gluten-free falafel biscuits. Right. Now, you wanted to share something with us.
The margarine. It's just a very basic one. Doesn't work quite like a margarine, but it works as a nice spread more than for baking. It probably would work for baking. I haven't tried it. You just freeze cottonseed oil, if that's what you use, or your regular sunflower seed oil in smaller containers, and it solidifies. And then it becomes useful in recipes using margarine.
Okay.
So you use it straight from the freezer or let it thaw very slightly. It thaws very quickly because it's...
Yes, of course.
The oil is not that stable. Right. But at least it's more solid than just using oil. I generally just try, you know, substitute oil for margarine. But this way you've got it's slightly...
Firmer.
Slightly firmer. Yeah.
Okay. So I think, obviously, we're going to post a few on the site. But one thing before I finish, I have to say, I say it every year, and I really mean it from the bottom of my heart. Don't let your children believe that this is a holiday that actually used to send my mother over the edge. You want your children involved. You want your grandchildren involved. And make it such a special chag, because you're investing in their futures as well. And we just need to all come together and just have fun at the Seder and just show your children that this is a wonderful chag, as all the others are. Well,
if anybody would like any of the recipes that I've mentioned, just give a call, 082-850-1621. Tracy, thanks so much.
Are you on Facebook, Tracy?
I am. Tracy's Treats or Tracy Milner.
And there you have it. Have a wonderful, wonderful Pesach. Enjoy the Siddurim. And it's Eat and Meet that makes the show complete.